and I will be presenting how you can use technical analysis to enhance your trading performance, whether you're day trading or swing trading. My name is Anka Metcalf, and I have been trading for the last 16 years, my own account. So I am a professional independent trader that is focused on trading futures, mainly in the first 2 hours of the morning, and swing trading stocks for the rest of the day. Prior to becoming a professional independent trader, I come with 10 plus years in investment banking. And like you know, I'm the CEO and founder of TradeOutloud.com, which is a trading education firm that is specialized and educating individuals how to day trade and swing trade and actively invest in the futures and the equities market. I'm the designer of an institutional proprietary trading system. The reason why I am the designer is because I cannot take credit for it. So I have adapted a proprietary institutional trading system for my own trading accounts. My system is based on price support resistance, and there's so much more than meets the eye. I have different layers of support resistance that I look at. And basically what I'm doing is I'm trying to find clusters of areas where I find the best odds for initiating trends. I'm also a trend follower. I never trade against the trend. Even if I see a pattern that is slightly downtrending on smaller time frames, and that is in case I'm day trading, I tend to wait for the pullback and then get in on the reversal of the pattern on a more complex board. So I also have developed throughout my trading career specific trigger times, and I find that the market moves in a certain tempo. So when the market opens at 9:30, it has a big influx of price, and it's usually, I call it a fleecing effect. So it's trying to find its new range, its new trading range for the New York trading session, and I just let it trade for the first, let's say, 30 minutes of the day. To me, it's very important to watch price action between 9:30 and 10 o'clock, and pretty much if the price is into a committed trend, whether it's an uptrend or a downtrend, but we can refer to it as an uptrend because this has been one of the most amazing uptrends that I have ever traded this market. And definitely I look for the price above the 10 a.m. high in order to continue higher. And odds are that if the price is breaking the 9:30 lows, it's most likely to remain in a choppy territory and most likely going to start behaving and start changing into, let's say, a downtrend. So I have my specific trigger times. One of my favorite trigger times for the morning is actually the 10:30 trigger time. You're pretty much, the market is pretty much settled at around that time, and you're having a clear bias for your trading day. Of course, there are other trigger times. I'm going to mention them throughout the trading session, but I do have about 2 to 3 trigger times that are from 9:30 till about 12 o'clock. And then for the PM session, of course, there are trigger times for the lunch session. However, I do not trade around lunchtime. I find it that it's pretty sideways. Volume is low. I don't like to trade where there's not a lot of commitment in the market. We have the lunchtime doldrums. And if there should be a trade, I come in the first hour of the day from 3 o'clock to about 4 p.m. Eastern. And I will share with you a graph where you can easily see the volume that is coming in and the reasons why I am trading within these two intervals of time. Chart synchronicity and divergency. I trade and I focus on the futures indices. These are my primary focus at the beginning of the trading session. I don't day trade gold or oil. I don't day trade in rare cases that I day trade gold or oil, but my main objective, and I specialize in trading the indices, and that's my undivided attention. When I trade the indices, I don't have a favorite. So per se, I'm not, you know, using, let's say, like, you know, a lot of traders are, you know, love to specialize in one index or the other. I like to watch all the indices and select which has the most robust, the most structured chart pattern, so I could take it into the relevant direction. So I'm going to give you a quick example, and I have it here in the presentation. For instance, yesterday I selected the E-mini Dow for my morning trade because it had the best structure. And also based on relative strength and weakness, definitely Russell has been sideways. degrees, still stuck below that 1600, but definitely I do a lot of work, a lot of pre-market work before I start the trading day, and I evaluate the chart structure, the advanced decline, and some other factors that are contributing, that can possibly contribute to the advance of one index or the other. I also have trading rules and a 10-point scoring system that enables myself and my traders to identify trades with these. We also offer specialized classes for trading, for day trading futures and swing trading futures, and we also offer a live trading room. In today's presentation, I will be sharing with you how to build a foundation for your next trade, the pre-planning stage, how to identify what to trade based on pure price action and pure simple technical analysis. So it's back to the basic. And I think that traders are overcomplicating charts and are overcomplicating technical analysis, because the reality is that once you learn the basics of technical analysis, you're basically equipped with all you need to know about charting. And don't try to find that perfect magic indicator, that holy grail that doesn't exist. It's just some work. And trust me, you guys are here. That means that you're willing to put in the work and it's not that complicated. I'm also going to show you how technical analysis will help you identify directional bias with maximum accuracy, and how technical analysis pinpoints entry stops and targets and also trail. And also technical analysis will show us when to trade and when to sit on our hands, because oftentimes the market is in a range bound, kind of setup. And that's the most difficult area to trade, in my opinion, because at that point, and especially when it's levitating into all time highs, you know, there's always, you know, that if, is it going to break higher, or what if it's going to break support? Is it going to break down lower? And of course you have, you know, we're basically trading in an era where you get a tweet, you receive a tweet, and the market can fluctuate and can move. The Dow can move, let's say 200 points. The S&P can move about 30 points. We saw NASDAQ. I mean, I've been trading a very long time and I have seen swings, day swings. Last year when we had that big volatility spike in February and back into the end of the year, huge volatility in the market last year. I'm glad it subsided. I'm not a fan of volatility at all for my day trading purposes, and because volatility is not that great for day traders. I mean, it's great if you're in a trade and if you have a good setup, but oftentimes volatility creates a really wide risk. So the difference between the entry and the stop are really, really wide. And that's the number one cause. Last year, 374 hedge funds have closed doors. In trading, there is no room for average. The average is basically the top of the bottom and the bottom of the top. So I'm going to share with you a little bit of what I trade. For day trading purposes, I focus on the E-mini indices. I focus on the E-mini Dow, the S&P, NASDAQ, and Russell, and that's it. For swing trading purposes, I can trade energies. I can trade oil. In fact, I am in a swing in oil long. Sometimes I trade gold or silver, depending on the setups. And I'm kind of gauging right now, and I want to initiate a trade in gold. I'm going to share that idea with you later on, and that is for the upcoming week. Sometimes bonds, I only select the 30-year bond to trade, and that is ZB. And grains, I haven't traded grains in quite some time, and I think they're subject to the trade war. And once something is going to get signed up, I think the grains are going to start getting some more love. And I also execute stock trades, swing trades, and active investing trades. So before we continue, I want to share with you a simple fact. Did you guys know how much money you need to retire? Well, I find this very interesting, because investors feel that they need about $2.5 million in retirement to maintain their lifestyle, according to a Legg Mason survey. So guess what? That's about $2.2 million more than the average balance of $385,000 the individuals actually had in their 401(k) accounts, IRA accounts, or similar retirement plans. So the reason why the stock market and the market is just pushing and pushing higher is because there's a lot of money that is being driven into the stock market. All right, so let's talk a little bit about Q4. Fourth quarter is my absolute favorite time of the year to trade. Why? Because I say this every year, and I know that last year has been a little bit challenging, and it has been a little bit challenging even for myself. I'm going to share with you my portfolio since we have created the trading room, and you're going to see see that I had a little tough time when the market became very volatile last year in October, November, and December. But overall, the fourth quarter is one of the most profitable quarters for the market and for traders in general, and absolutely for hedge funds. There are a lot of things that are happening in the fourth quarter. Basically, the volume market increases substantially. It is one of the most dynamic quarters and most high volume quarters to trade. We have earnings, and we've had a tremendous earnings season. I know I played a lot of stocks. Disney was one last week that I'm still in because I'm still holding it for higher profits, for higher targets, not profits, for a higher target into the year end. And I obviously booked some profit that is right on that earning day into those highs, close to the end of the day. But earnings are a very good support for the move of our indices. Because if you think a little bit, what are these indices? Indices are formed by stocks, by sectors, right? And they form the index. So if you're having, let's say, for instance, Dow, right? So Humana yesterday, Disney the other day, they were really great performance. And that's one of the reasons Dow, you know, had that really big push to the upside. Also, FOMC meeting minutes. We're going to expect the next Fed meeting, and we're heading to a very turbulent December. In December, we have the contract roll. We also have the contract expiration, and that is going to come with a quadruple witching options expiration on the third Friday of the month. And on the second, we have the roll. Then we have, before that, we have the FOMC meeting, like I said. And right after everything's all sorted and all well said and done, we have Santa Rally. For those of you that don't believe in Santa Rally came last year. And take a look at the big move that it had last year. So oftentimes a lot of traders say, hey, you know what? It's around holidays. I'm not going to be trading. Well, I find that these may be some really, really great trading opportunities. I find that throughout my trading career, trading around holidays, even if you're not engaged in trading room or if you're not engaged into a single program and they decide to leave for the holidays, I'm pretty sure that some of those traders would like to trade themselves. And I know I'm one of those. So take a look at the market. Usually the market volume is a little bit lower around that time, which promotes trend following. So you're going to see that there are more and more traders that are trading the setup. Setups start working a little bit more. And this is not necessarily only gauged only for Christmas, but it also you can pretty much see this phenomenon happen as we're going now into the Thanksgiving. So we're just, what, a week, 2 weeks away probably from Thanksgiving or something like that. So you're going to see that the volume tends to decrease around Thanksgiving, and then it's going to pick up right after. So around that time, a couple of days before and a couple of days after, you're going to see that things are going to start happening. A bigger influx of volume in the market is definitely going to come in into Black Friday and also into Cyber Monday. And that's also influenced from the stock market. Stock market is moving. Obviously, the indices are going to start moving as well. We also have window dressing. This is a very powerful phenomenon. At the end of the year, I have been trading this for many, many years. Basically, portfolio managers want to dress up their portfolio and they're ditching their losers, I don't know, like stocks that are underperforming, and they're picking high-flying stocks. So to dress up their portfolio, to show their portfolio, hey, you know what? You're in Disney right now. You're in Apple. Apple just made new highs. And by the way, Apple new high. How crazy is this? Apple is getting so extended, right? Okay. So, and then you have the January effect. So when other traders are thinking, hey, you know what? We're on holiday, December 26th. You know, you're still, you know, with family and all that stuff. This is what happened in the market. The market put in, and this is the S&P last year, put in a low at 2316. And look, it closed almost very, very close to 2500. This was an impressive move. And by the way, this is a daily chart. This happened all in one day. All right. So I think that this is something that we have to take into consideration. So one of the things that I love about trading the futures market, and I have to tell you that I started my trading career investing in stocks and then going into from investing in stocks, going into swing trading and then active swing trading. And very, very soon I quit my job and I said, okay, this is what I need to do. I need to get into day trading. So I started day trading and I was day trading for about 10 to 12 12 years, very, very actively. And I was trading full time before the market opened, into the market closed, and then a lot of work before the market opened and a lot of work before the market closed. And I soon realized that, hey, there's one thing that I have, you know, in common, and one thing that I always do before I even scan for my stocks in the morning, and that is do my pre-market game plan for the indices, because that was my basic plan. So I had to go over the indices, determine which index, what are the level for the indices, and then according to how the indices were lining up, I had to scan for my stocks, and I had two categories, long or shorts, and then I had relative strength and relative weakness, and I always went relative strong stocks in a very strong market environment. In a weak market environment, I went with very weak stocks. And it's very easy why I had this process. Well, because the high flying stocks and the stocks that were outperforming, let's say the Qs, right, had much better odds of accelerating higher than I would have taken a short. So one of the reasons why I loved switching to the futures market, which I did about 8 to 10 years ago, is that I basically only have to look at the indices. Now, I am involved in the stock market, very involved in the stock market. I have a plethora of trades that I have on, and that truly helps me keep a gauge on the futures market because I know what's moving. I know at every point what tends to have relative strength or relative weakness. I know through earnings, and you could actually trade earnings through futures. Not once I have traded earnings in Apple or Google or Microsoft with NASDAQ, right? So we have the big advantage that the futures market is open 24 hours, and you could take advantage of the moves that are happening outside of the normal market hours. So as these stocks report earnings before the market opens or after the market closes, you could actually take advantage. If you have like a really good setup that is happening after the earnings report is out, I never trade before the earnings report. So after the earnings report is out, you could definitely get into the trade. One of the reasons why I love also using the futures market as my primary income source, and that is because you could potentially have a smaller account, and you can definitely spend less time in the market and actually make more than if you would trade the ETF. So for those of you that are new to the futures market, if you would like to open an account, I think the minimum requirement with most of the brokers is $5,000. I know that recently TradeStation has now a lower minimum to open an account to $500, and they pretty much set you up to trade micros. But basically, with most of the brokers, you would need about $5,000. I don't, and I'm not a fan, and I don't advocate the fact that, hey, open a $5,000 account and start trading. You need to have a really thorough education. I think it's a great idea with the micros that have just been introduced to start, you know, having a little bit of skin in the game. I'm not a big fan of trading a simulated account. Just trade one futures contract, and that's really low price. Just get in the game with that. So this way you have a little bit of skin in the game and you're a little bit involved in the market. You have a little bit of emotion compared to paper trading, where if you want to open a stock trading account, your minimum requirement is $25,000. And guess what? You have to have definitely at least $30,000 to open an account, because guess what? If you open it with $25,000 and you lose a penny, you're done. Your day trading status out the door. Where in a futures account, you can open up $5,000, and as long as you have sufficient cash in your account to cover the margin requirements, you could still trade the index or the commodity. So that's a huge advantage. The other thing, I love the stock market. I started my career trading stocks, and I'm always going to be trading stocks because I have a love for trading stocks. But trading, if you want to be a stock trader, your trading hours are from 9:30 to 4:30, 5 days a week, and that's pretty much it. The futures market is open close to 24 hours a day, 6 days a week. So geopolitical events literally do not wait for the market to open. Events just happen, and many markets that affect the U.S. market trade outside of the U.S. market hours. You may catch some really great volatility spikes or volatility drops in the market. For instance, next year, election, what do you think is going to happen? The market is going to be like really engaged within that night. I remember I traded last election, and I traded it live on Twitter, and it was a blast. And I remember I bought it somewhere like 17,800 or something like that, and it just did a sharp blow blip down and then it started to rotate back up. Why am I choosing? And first of all, my favorite trading hours are from 9:30 in the morning till about 11:30, 12 o'clock. And then that's it. I focus a lot because I'm a day trader. My undivided attention is to charts, to literally to my mindset is completely into my charts and into time frames and just switching time frames. I'm looking at the time of the day. I'm careful about the market tempo. I'm looking at my trigger time. So there's a lot going on. So there's a lot of focus that goes into these 3 hours. Also, these 3 hours are very important because there's a lot of volume that is coming into the market. So like I said before, I like to trade when there is a lot of participation in the market. And we also have the overlap of the London session with the New York trading session. And pretty much for from my style of trading, as I'm getting closer to about 11:30, I like to wrap up my trading. And if I'm in a trade, I like to trail it out. But obviously, I'm not going to close trade just because I decide to just trade between 9 o'clock and 12 o'clock. No, if the trade is still on, I'm going to trail it for the rest of the day. Here is the average 2019 daily volume concentrated on the first 30 minutes and the last 30 minutes of the New York trading session. So remember, first 30 minutes and last 30 minutes. Now let's take a look at the first time right here into the London close. So 9:30, and I have a strategy that I trade in a very strong market environment. I have a strategy that I trade in the first 5 or 15 minutes from the open that pretty much is considered as a quick scalp going into 10 o'clock as the market approaches the first major reversal time. So from 9:30, take a look at the volume that is coming in at 9:30. And by the way, these are shares and these are for the buys, but definitely can be applicable for the futures as well. So 9:30, there's a big influx. 10 o'clock as well, high volume. 10:30, this is the first hour of the day. This is the power hour of the day, 9:30 to 10:30. I like to focus on getting a trade within this interval of time, 1 to 2 trades at least into this interval. And I don't trade a lot. I trade from 1 to 3 trades a day maximum. There are days where I don't actually take any trade. And then in the last 30 minutes of the day, take a look. I call this a ramp. And even if we're getting a dip in the market, you're probably going to see around that time, that big influx that is coming in the market and pushing the market a little bit higher. Or you could see it right here. Let me just drag here real quick. And this is yesterday's price action. Take a look at what is happening right here. And these are literally the last 5 minutes of the day. So last 5 minutes of the day, the market is ramping up big time right here into YM. We also had a big ramp going into the S&P, also a big ramp into NASDAQ. You can see that the market has really, really pushed higher. So yesterday I had a trade. First trade of the day was this pullback into the 20 SMA. I found this reversal. I took the trade out, and because it didn't achieve my target one, which was into these prior highs right here, I had a stop below this low right here and I stopped out. So I have very strict trading criteria. Like if I'm trading in the morning, I like to use hard stops. If I'm trading in the afternoon trading session, or if I'm trading a little bit higher time frame, I like to use off stop because the trade may be going on for a longer period of time. The second trade that I took yesterday with my members in the trading room. So we watch. And again, strong conviction. I was still seeing this as a long, and I'm going to share with you why I think this is a long and why it was a long. And I waited. Again, this is a 5 minute chart. Waited until this 5 minute reversal, and we finally made it work for us. But notice that I have a big circle here. So basically, these represent the first 2 hours of the morning. So from the open all the way into 11:30. And then you can see the sideways range that is happening into lunchtime, into the doldrum period. And then there's the next influx that is coming in towards the end of the day. And this is pretty much the 3 o'clock, right? This is the 3 o'clock. And then the end of the day, you could see it right here, the big ramping into the end of the day. And look at the volume spike, by the way. Look at the volume spike right here. It is almost equal, not equal, but a little bit lower, but it almost is equal as the opening volume, all right? Okay, the reason why I took the Dow long was because basically I did the pre-market analysis. We had a really good support zone into the 27,800, which was deriving from the prior pivot high right here from the other day, from Thursday's price action overnight. And this represented a really great confluence. different zones. It's also trading on the 20 simple moving average. It had a really nice rotation in the overnight trading session. It tested the prior highs from the newer trading session, and this was a really nice range breakout with a continuation higher. You're probably going to ask, do we have room for a continuation higher, even higher than this? And the answer is yes. I always trade in the direction of the trend. I also know that I have, you know, and I also know that, you know, we're trading into all-time highs. This is pretty much uncharted territory right here. But there are projections to the upside. So I use the Fibonacci projections, and I pretty much calculate the low and the high. Let me see if I have it here. All right, just give me 1 second. Okay, I think I had it calculated here. I just wanted to show it to you guys in order to determine. Okay, here it is. All right, so I use a simple Fib tool, which is super handy, especially when you're having, you know, an index or commodity or stock or whatever that is trading at all-time highs. You need to have a measure move to the upside. So I use the Fibonacci retracement. I connect the high, the low, or an extension to the upside. And you can see here that we pretty much have another target into the 3120 zone. And here it is. I'm sorry. I meant to say we have a high to the 31 almost 20 zone, and we have a target into the 3140 area. And that is the first swing extension for the move. And once it trades over this area, don't think that the market can be relentless. Don't think that the market is settled. I mean, it has been coiling for a very long time, and I think it's really ready to actually engage in further advancement higher. And the other swing is really here into the 3320s. Now, why do you think that this is happening? I want to go a little bit far out so you could understand, you know, what I'm seeing here. Okay, so first off, the last time when the market was coiling was basically 2000 for the whole duration of 2015 and 2016 until election. The market has been raging, has been volatile because of Brexit, has been volatile because of Greece and whatever fears that there were around that time. So it created some pushes to the downside here, which are very similar to the ones that we had here. Of course, here we had a lot more volatility going on than here back in 2015 and 2016. But if you have been trading in 2015, you would have probably felt very, very bored for months and months and months, where the market was kind of challenging to trade. And in terms of futures trading, in terms of futures day trading, I mean, you would be lucky if you would get like a 15 point move in that stack. You would be lucky if you get a 50 to 60 point move into the E-mini Dow. There wasn't much market participation at that time. And it really wasn't, we didn't get the follow through that we needed. So when the price exploded, so bottom line is that we had this range, we had resistance and we have support. And this was the last time when it happened. Guess here, we had a lot of resistance into the 2990 to 3000 and a lot of support going on here into the 2600 with the peak low into the 2320. But basically, if you look at the structure, it really resembles the structure that we had, but on a smaller scale. Look what happened after this explosive move to the upside after election. This is November 2016 election, and we had this tremendous trend going and moving for it. Now, remember, this is just the first month of this breakout. This is just the first month of the breakout. Remember, here, this was the initiation, the first month of the breakout, and it followed a whole entire year. So we had the whole 2017 in a tremendous uptrend. Now, let me remind you that usually pre-election years are bullish, and even election years going into spring are bullish. And then you have to be very careful because the market becomes very, very jittery. One of the other reasons why I love trading futures is because the lower effective income tax rate. So simplify reporting at the end of the year, you just get a 1099B form from your broker, and that's pretty much it. For those of you that reside in the US, you get the 60/40 rule. And of course, if you're a full-time trader, you may have additional tax benefits with trader tax status from the IRS. So check with your accountant on that. So obviously, one of the bigger things about futures trading is maximizing your capital efficiency. I'm not going to go entirely through it, but the reality is that if you're using, let's say you want to buy $200,000 worth of stock, right? And if you have, let's say you have a capital of $200,000, and if you want to buy, let's say the ETF that SPY, you want to do it at cash, you're going to have to expose your whole amount, right? So your whole amount is at risk. If you want to buy on leverage, the same ETF, let's say the SPY, on a leverage of 2-to-1, if you're a swing trader, you have a 2-to-1 leverage. If you're a day trader, you have 4-to-1. one. So you can use half of your capital. But if you buy futures on margin, taking advantage of the approximately 10-to-1 leverage available with the mini S&P contracts, this allows you to control the same portfolio of stocks with leveraging only $20,000 of your available capital. So instead of using your bulk $200,000, you're using $20,000 on leverage. And that's one of the reasons why, again, I love trading futures. So like I said, I'm only focused on day trading the indices. I trade the Dow, the S&P, NASDAQ, and Russell. And when I trade them, I have to make sure that I have a perfect symmetry in between them. I tend to pick the relative strength index for participation higher, and the relative weak index, I'm not going to pay attention to it anymore. When I trade the indices, I'm always looking at all the indices, at their structure and what they're doing at every single second of the time. If I see that, for instance, Russell, because Russell was the big issue right here, I'm going to zoom it in because you can see how sideways it was into the rest of the day. And it was divergent going into the morning. It was divergent. The market was pushing higher. And I was a little bit leery on even getting the strongest index, which was the Dow. But I went ahead because yesterday was option expiration. Typically, option expiration is a really dull day where you have a lot of sideways price action. Prices are usually pinpointed at certain values, and that's pretty much it. Not yesterday. Yesterday, we have such an amazing push in the market. The Dow, 214 points. S&P, over 22 points. NASDAQ, over 57 points. But I always like to look at the charts. And if I see perfect symmetry within the charts, you know, it's just like throw a dart. You can trade any one of them. But if one of the indices is divergent, then you have to make sure that when you execute your trade, you take into consideration. And if you see, let's say, a rotation that is happening on, because I focus on the 1 hour a lot, 1 hour, 4 hour, and then I match my 1 hour with my smaller time frame. So if I'm seeing a setup that is developing, let's say on the 1 hour, which it did into the Dow yesterday, right into the open. So it was on the breakout. It had support right here into the 820, and it was a fulcrum level as well. So it broke above this high right here, and this is why I went higher, because I was banking on the fact that the market may be ready to propel higher. And these are some notes from the trading room that we had. I also, like I said, I also swing trade, but I like to swing trade gold and oil, something that has a little bit more volume. I don't swing trade lumber, for instance, so I stay away from that. All right. So what traders want to hear, the reality is like, oh my gosh, give me the holy grail. Sell me an indicator that is going to tell me what to do. Because traders are not really, sometimes that are a little bit lazy, and they want that perfect system that is going to work for them. And ultimately, they won't have to do any kind of work. So mastering technical analysis and pinpointing the entries will improve your trading overall. So it's back to basics. So how would you like to pinpoint entries with accuracy? Well, pay attention to support resistance on your charts. Pay attention to pullback areas. If you're having a peak high and you're having that cone rotation happen, make sure you apply a Fibonacci and see where the price is more likely to pull back into, so you could take that continuation for the uptrend. So like I said, I'm not interested. I even say this in the room a million times. I'm not interested in pullbacks. I'm not shorting pullbacks. I'm just waiting patiently for the stop or the index pull back so I can carry it higher. Also stops. You're going to be able to have a max, to have a much more better read on where to place the stop. I always place my stops below pivot or above pivots, and I give them a few ticks or a few points depending on whether I'm in a day trade or in a swing trade. Targets. Targets are fantastic because targets are set into prior highs, or if you don't have any other prior highs, then you could actually help your chart by determining a projected target using a simple Fibonacci tool. Also trailing. You have to have a system for trailing. So I have three methods that I'm teaching for trailing. I have one in particular that helps me a lot in my day trading because when I'm day trading, I'm not 100% committed to hold that trade for a longer period of time. So I'm in and out probably in about, 5 to 10 minutes or even 30 minutes. The market's not doing anything. But definitely you have to have a really good trailing system. Whether you want to trail it based by pullback, which I'm not a fan of. I'm doing that with stocks, but with futures, you have to give a lot back, regardless of the time frame that you're using. Even if you're trading a 5 minute or even a 2 minute, you're still going to give a lot because a full contract still has some weight to it, right? Compared to 100 shares
years or so.
And also management. When you have a management plan, it's so much easier. And your management plan, your trailing, your targets, your stops, everything needs to be technical. Even when you scale in trade, I know a lot of traders, you know, just say, hey, you know what, the VIX is here at the low. I'm just going to buy like 500 shares or something, and then I'm going to start adding. But to me, when you want to do that, it has to be on a technical level. And if I don't have a technical level, I'm not going to scale in just because it's making a new low. So technical analysis will allow you to trade with precision any instrument. So once you handle technical analysis, you can trade futures, forex, options, anything. It can be used on any time frame, whether you're day trading, swing trading, or active investing. In fact, the only thing you do, so your rules will remain intact, but instead of, let's say if you're a swing trader, you're going to take your set of rules, and instead of applying them on a higher time frame, you're going to switch them on a smaller time frame. There's not much more to do than that. It provides accuracy, confidence, and consistency because it's a rule-based system. And I love trading rules. I have a trading plan. And believe me, when I started my trading career, I was very fortunate to have a really fantastic mentor. And he would say, hey, have you written your trading plan? And this was in the first 2 weeks of my trading and my really day trading because I needed some help with day trading. Like I said, I came from investment, from investing and swing trading. And so I needed some help with day trading. And I would say, no, I have it all in here. It's like, it's all in my head. It's like, no, it has to be on paper. So I had to have a written a trading plan, which came like very hard to me. But once I had it written down, I pretty much knew that, okay, these are my trading hours. This is what I should be doing at 9:45. This is what I should be doing at 9:50. This is what I should be doing at 10 o'clock or at 10:30 or 11. So it has a structured approach. Also, it eliminates fear and stress, and you can trade with clarity. And the reason why I'm saying the fear and stress is because a lot of stress is a lot of stress comes from the fact that a lot of traders don't know how to position size and don't know how much money they should allocate per day or per week. So once you have a really good structured approach, those kind of fears are going to diminish. They're not going to go away completely because I would lie if I say, hey, you know what? I'm not emotionally involved when I'm going to trade. Of course I am. It is money. It's the most precious commodity there is. But trading technical analysis creates focus and helps with pattern recognition at precise locations. So I don't trade if I don't see a pattern. I don't trade if I don't see any of my indices lining up. So I have to have like a perfect symmetry, and I have to have the higher time frame confirm that they're ready to go up or down, and confirm a setup so I can look on a lower time frame and actually initiate a trade. All right. So simplify trading, decluttering. So how many times have you been in a trade, had trigger, and then stopped you up? Oh, how many times have you found yourself chasing trades? I don't chase trades, but just stopping out, yes, it's really frustrating. But when you have conviction with technical analysis, you go after again. And the example was yesterday. So I stopped out of YM first, and then I went back into it again. How many times have you stared at the screens, not knowing what to do, yet you pull the trigger on the trade anyway and lose money just because you're bored? You pull the trigger, say, hey, I just have to have a trade. You have to buy at precise locations. So that means on technical locations. You either buy on support, buy on pullbacks. Don't just go halfway there thinking, hey, you know what? Maybe it's going to go here. Maybe it doesn't cut it in trading. So don't do that with your own money. How often do you find yourself in a trade in the middle of the news announcement? I don't trade news announcement. I do not trade. I don't trade the FOMC afternoon trading session. I look at the market. I'm in front of the market all the time, but I simply don't trade it. So I have this rule. I don't trade it on option expiration. My rule is to trade only in the morning and be done, because usually the rest of the day, yesterday was a pure exception. There are some very few seldom times throughout the year when this thing, when an accelerated move to the upside or downside happens, but most of the time the price remains range bound for the rest of the day. I don't trade oil ahead of economic releases. I mentioned that I don't in general day trade oil. I day trade oil only when it's into a good recognizable pattern for a day trade. How to keep it simple with a structured approach? Well, it's time to simplify your trading. Declutter. Just declutter. Eliminate the noise. Oftentimes, a lot of traders are zoomed into a tick chart or a 1 minute chart or a 2 minute chart. If you're having a hard time and if you're losing on those specific time frames, it's time for a change. Because if you're doing the same thing over and over again, if you're expecting a different result, it's never going to happen. So the one thing that you that is best to do is to zoom out. Okay, zoom out to a 15 minute chart, zoom out to a 5 minute
chart.
Okay. Also, determine entries in minutes and hours in advance. If you do the pre-planning and it's not that hard, just, you know, use some simple lines on your chart. Determine where support is, determine where resistance is, so you could actually visualize it. Because sometimes when you're in a trade, you forget about all these things because you're so emotionally involved, right? So technical analysis is basically analyzing your price action. It's the only non-lagging indicator. Few technical indicators that you're going to be using, very few technical indicators that will pinpoint high accuracy entries, stops, targets, and then they're available for free on any platform. I use just a few, and I'm going to share with you the moving averages that I use. Very, very few moving averages that I use, volume, and some Fibonacci's, and that's pretty much it. If you're going into the indicators direction, first of all the indicators are delayed, okay? There's not one indicator that is real time. So most of the indicators are delayed. You either have to have a monthly subscription for them. There are some of them are only applicable on certain time frames, and they're not really a great option. All you have to do is learn it once, and it's going to stay with you forever. So technical analysis will provide you that accurate read on any chart and any instrument. It will override news events, any artificial indicator, or even earnings. Here's the E-mini S&P, and I showed you the projection for higher, and I took this snapshot earlier today, and I put it on, but I showed you earlier. So you can see here that's really trading into the 3120 zone, and there's the next target right here into the 161.8 extension. And then if we cluster within this area, if there's going to be any price gyration, any pullback, it's definitely going to be viable, and we can look for an extension higher. So we can possibly look at the market as a bigger part of breakout, similar to the one we had in 2016. So technical analysis will help you find trading opportunities in any market, in any style of trading, day trading, swing trading, actively investing. And guess what? The best of all, you only have to learn it once. And there's so much information on the internet. You just have to put the pieces together. So technical analysis will teach you how to trade price action, how to trade pure price action. You're looking at the chart, you're looking at the candlesticks, and you start reading chart. It shows the interaction between between the buyers and the sellers. And even if you go on a micro look on each candlesticks, you could see the reaction. You could see who's in charge. Is it the bulls? Is it the bears? Is it the buyers? Is it the sellers? And at which level they're starting to show up. It also will prevent you from chasing trades. This is the worst thing that you could do on as a trader. And oftentimes in my trading room, for traders that are new to trading and new to the trading room, you know, oftentimes they see a big move, a big blast, and then they say, oh, can I get in here? It's like, no, you can't, because this would be chasing the trade. You don't know if the trade is going to stop there or it's going to accelerate another 50 or 60 points. So technical analysis will tell you the right time to buy or to sell by using precise trigger points that are very easy to identify, and when to add to a trade or apply damage control. Because let's face it, as traders, we've all been in that area where we have been underwater and we would like to work the trade out. And there is a possibility for that. So I don't know if your platform goes down or you forget to put in a hard stop, you run the kitchen to grab a cup of coffee, you come back, you go like, oh my God, the price is down. It blew from my stop. I forgot to put a stop. Or, you know, things happen. You have to have a damage control, because amateur hour is when you're getting in, you're seeing red. Let's say you're in a position long, you're seeing a little bit of red, and then you get out, you exit the trade. And you can apply good, if you know how to work the trade, you could actually save the trade. Also, we'll teach you how to trade like an algo. Having that rule-based system, when to execute trades, knowing the reversal times, knowing the trigger times, knowing all that information, the market tempo, etc., will provide you with that clarity, so you know exactly what you need to be waiting for before you get into a trade. Okay, the indicators that I use, like I said, not very sophisticated. I use a few moving averages. I use the 20, the 50, and the 200 simple moving average. I use the 10 exponential, and that's for day trading purposes. And on extended moves, I use it on my higher time frames as well. I use volume because I want to see the market participation. I use VIB retracement and projections, because if I'm having a pivot high, I want to know, and especially if that's happening onto a daily chart, I want to get my FIB tool ready to see that if we're getting a pullback, how steep or how shallow the pullback can be, and where is my next buy zone into that uptrend. Of course, price, right? candlesticks. So how do I, to identify traits, I use, number one, patience. So I wait a lot for everything to line up and for things to start sorting out before I recognize a pattern. Like I said, I use very simple indicators. All my strategies are based on price support resistance. I use Fibonacci retracement and projections, and I love to use confluence areas. Now, these areas, the confluence areas, are overlapping support zones and are overlapping resistance, are overlapping with either multiple support zones, with moving averages, with a pivot point, or whatever the sort may be. So if I have a confluence area, that makes it a really good opportunity for me to buy. So as a basic, as basic strategies, I use two simple strategies. Of course, I teach in my course about 10 trading strategies that are, again, they go into much more refined, but I use those occasionally. But when it comes to everyday market, I basically look at pullback buys or pullback sells. Obviously, I look for pullback buys in uptrends and pullback sells in downtrends, breakouts or breakdowns. To me, the market is all about this. And the vast majority of time, of course, there are some other, you know, refined strategies that are more momentum-based strategies like a bull sandwich or bear sandwich, et cetera, et cetera. But this is the nitty-gritty, and this is basically what I focus on and what brings and what makes me money. And always I follow the trend. You're not going to see me go against the trend ever. No, no, no. Okay. So at the beginning of the presentation, I mentioned that I'm going to share with you a chart, and this is gold. I have actually been this week in gold. I have been at, initiated the trade at 68. I had a target at 75, had a second target at 80. And I took half my profit at 75 and then I raised my stop at break even at 68 because I really didn't like the way it pulled back through the overnight trading session. And I decided to raise my stop. But again, now it's leaving this very interesting doji-like candle here. Now, I know it's a little bit pressure because it's coming. You see these lows right here from a few weeks ago. These lows right here create a high pressure sell point. So what that means is that the price may be pressed to the downside. But at the same time, you know, you're having this doji, and if you break above this high right here, and if you and meet that, and all this push to the, all this push higher, all this lift, all this bottoming tail that is being developed, it means that the buyers are showing up. Plus, it has a really nice 4 hour kind of look to it, and I would really like it again over 70 right now. But anyway, so 77 would be the breakout point right here, right on top of this weekly candle. And of course, it's going to be a little bit jittery as it's getting, again, into that 80s. But over 80s, I think it has a really nice opportunity to run into 1500 and at least into these highs right here. Okay, so selecting what I trade, I talked about it earlier. I go through this process of selecting the relative strength and the relative weakness, and I don't initiate a trade if I see any divergency among the indices. So if I'm having Russell that is acting up, it is a little bit weaker, or if I have the, let's say if I have NASDAQ that is weaker than the Dow, then I tend to sit on the sidelines before everything is sorted out. All right, so technical analysis at work. If you guys follow me on Twitter, I do post some trading ideas on Twitter, and obviously they're for free, so they're there for everybody to see. So you can see some of my work on Twitter, and these are some trades that I posted, some of the trades that we've done. And this is actually from a student of mine. I love when students share with me. They're so excited. They're sharing the screen with me. So these are some of the trades that we've done. Before I engage into a trade in the trading room, I thoroughly explain why we're getting in the trade. We do a thorough pre-market analysis, and we select the index to trade, or even the commodity to trade. All right. So trading is a system. So trading is not about, you know, learning. You got to learn a strategy. You got to learn a trend. You got to do this. You got to do that. No, it's about learning everything. But the art is how to put everything together. Because when you're in a trade, because of the emotional involvement, you tend to forget half of it. So that's why you need a trading plan to have that structured approach. So trading is about knowing how to put the puzzle together, how to initiate the trade at the right location, at the right time, how to manage the trade, how much money to get into the trade with, how many contracts to get. Because a lot of times traders, I don't know, have $10,000 in their account and say, hey, I can take 2 contracts. That's totally wrong. Because the only variable in this equation, the only variable is the money that, the only variable is the size of the trade. Basically, the entry and and the stop. That fluctuates. The amount of money that you're risking in the trade has to be the same on each and every single trade. And that is for money management purposes. So elements that go in each trade, at each click of elements that go into each trade, each click of the mouse, market dynamics, technical analysis, multi-time frame alignment, pinpointing entries, accuracy in determining stops, establishing targets, trailing, controlling risk, money management psychology. Everything has to be in sync at the time where you click that mouse. So what goes into pre-planning? Well, first of all, you start up the day. I don't even pop my platform open until I see what are the headlines for the day and what's expected for the day. I check my economic calendar. I check to see politically wise what's going to happen, if we're expecting tweets or if there, you know, if there's anything going on. Also, I pay attention to earnings because I'm a stock trader and I know that earnings have a high influence on futures as well, right? If you're getting earnings from Disney, or obviously you're going to see a big move in into the Dow, Disney, or Boeing rather. Boeing is the biggest component in the Dow. So you're going to see a big move in the Dow. If Google or Amazon is going to report earnings, depending on their earnings, these are going to be reflected in NASDAQ. Also respect the market tempo. Like I said, the market opens at 9:30, goes into a full throttle into 10 o'clock, it calibrates, and then it pulls back at 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock is the major reversal time in the market. Oftentimes, a lot of traders think that if it goes straight up into 10 o'clock, at 10 o'clock, boom, it's going higher, I'm going to hop in. That's the time when the pullback may happen. So if the pullback is shallow, get back in or get in if you haven't been in from the open. Or if there's a steeper pullback that breaks the 10, that breaks the 9:30 low, then the odds are changing for the day. So the likelihood of that trade continue higher has very low odds. Also, chart analysis. Please start with the highest time frame. The highest time frames are going to be your best friends. Respect the highest time frame and reflect the higher time frames and trade with the higher time. Trade your smaller time frame. Always looking at being in sync with your higher time frame. And choosing your trade depending on relative strength and weakness. All right. Bottom line, knowledge is confidence, and you have to have a very high confidence level when you exit the trade, and you have a high confidence level when you're in the know and when you know exactly what you're doing. So for those of you that are new to trading and you're thinking, oh my God, trading is so hard. Trading is not that hard if you have a really structured approach. I'm not going to say it's easy. It's the hardest thing that you're ever going to do, and it's going to discipline you for life in every aspect of your life. And I'm serious about this. So trading is definitely like learning how to drive. It can be overwhelming. You have to keep track of the gas, the brakes, the mirror, so you don't crash. But once you get used to it all you have to do is set it up and get ready to reach your destinations. It becomes a second nature, right? Trading is the same. So once you know how to analyze your charts, how to do your top-down analysis, how to determine your entry, your stop, your market conditions, your take profit area, or your stop area, you have a handle on this. And once you get used to it, it becomes instinctive. So if you guys are ready, I'm having a class that starts on Monday. We already have very, very few seats, just a couple of seats, I believe, left for Monday. We begin the Power Income Futures Day Trading course. It's a comprehensive course that teaches you everything you need to know from A to Z, from chart reading to candlestick reading to patterns to entries, how to determine entry stops, targets, complete package of technical analysis with all the technical analysis that you need to make informed decision for your trade, money management, psychology, risk management, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So if you would like to hear more about what we offer with this course, the full course curriculum, you could feel free to email us at info@tradeoutloud.com, and we will get back to you with a full class curriculum, no obligation. Just if you're curious to see what we're teaching, shoot us an email, info@tradeoutloud.com. Remember, the deadline is coming up Monday at noon. So thanks so much, David. This is a wrap. And again, guys, if you have further questions about